Like I said, we have we've flown in international speakers. Actually, that's a lie. We didn't fly them in. We heard they flew in. There's a rumor they flew in. But we have two speakers. But I'm going to first introduce. We have Pelle. I probably hacked that up. Pelle from Copenhagen. And he's going to be our first speaker for the evening. So I'll, please give us a warm welcome for Pelle.
Hi, I'm Pelle. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My home group is the Thursday night stag meeting in Copenhagen, and if you guys show up any Thursday, you're just welcome to go to call me. And we haven't had a girl try to get in as of yet, but we have a strict policy of not restricting that if we have a needy alcoholic at the door. So, well, this is such a great opportunity, getting to stand here in front of you and tell you my story. I got my first spiritual awakening when I was 18 years old. I waited till I was 18 till I took my first drink. And I was the type, I was never going to drink. I thought drunk people, they're boring people, they irritate me, they just leave me alone. But then one summer night when my parents were away, I held this big barbecue, invited all my friends, and some of them brought some vodka to drink. And I had made my decision before the night that was a night. That was a night I was going to start drinking. And I hadn't told them, but they showed up. They had enough. So when they pulled up a pair of glasses, I pulled my own up. And it only took one sip. I was sold. That was the solution to all my problems. Because prior to that time, I had been irritated, restless, and discontent, and I felt worthless. And all the other guys were more cool than me. I didn't have the guts to talk to the pretty girls. I was a mess. But there was the solution. I remember distinctly that night going to the bathroom and smiling in the mirror, and I just felt, oh my God! Oh my God, that's the first time I really smiled at myself. That was my real smile, never seen it before. And to make a long story short, I ended up that night on my parents' couch with a bucket beside the couch, The Simpsons playing on the TV, and I was drunk out of my mind, throwing up and laughing at the same time, and I was great. I was exactly right. When I woke up the next morning, I was energized. I went out and mowed the lawn, and I had one clear thought in my mind. This I'm going to do again. So I was always the designated driver. That commitment I gave up right away because every time there was some drinking going on, I was drinking. I was not driving. And I think in the start, I just drank with my mates. But my alcoholism progressed very, very fast because a couple of years later, I went to med school for the first time, and they put a lot of pressure on you. And you have to study all the time. You have to read this and that, and they have tests. And I wasn't able to focus on anything. So my daily drinking started pretty early, and it was always the illusion of only a couple of beers, only a couple of beers, and then I'm okay, then I can concentrate, then I can be here. But you know the story. So after flunking twice out of med school in Iceland, I decided that the school ain't right. And I moved to Denmark and been living in Denmark ever since for 10 years. And boy, in Iceland, alcohol prices are really high. You pay like $80 for a quart of vodka. It's crazy. And how much for a six pack? Maybe $20 or something like that. So it's crazy, and who can live like that? So I moved to Denmark, and Denmark is like the beer capital of Europe. And if you want cheap alcohol, it's there. So I came off the airplane, and the first thing I did, buy a beer. I bought an imported beer, bought a Heineken, but I didn't know better. I was 24 at the time. And as it says in Bill's story, I hardly drew a sober breath for the next 6 years. And it wasn't all bad. In the start, in the beginning, it was so with my mates in med school and with my wife, with people I knew. But I still went to med school in Denmark. And that's a lot of pressure. And I skipped school because the other kids were better than me. I didn't know the language good enough. I can't remember all the things I should remember. And I just holed up at home and started drinking. And it was terrible. It took me 4 years to be through. They're so much more large in Denmark. They're very democratic. Oh, we will help you get through this. It took me 4 years to drink myself out of med school there. And I really had some good people trying to help me along the way. They said, oh my God, you have so much anxiety. So they gave me pills. They sent me to psychologists and psychiatrists. And nothing helped. There was only one thing that helped. And that was drinking. But I need to drink more and more often. And I usually say I didn't have a problem with alcohol. Or if I had a problem with alcohol, it stopped working. Because at the end of my drinking, a typical day would look like this. I woke up, same time as my wife, kissed her goodbye, I said, yeah, I'm going to school in half an hour, just got to take a bath, and then I'm off to school. But I hadn't told her that my first waking thought that day is, today I'm not going to drink. As soon as he went out the door, the thinking began. Oh my God, it's a big world out there. A lot of pressure. And I just got to take the edge off. Two beers only, then I'm going to school. And you know, I believe what the big book tells us about this disease is a three-part disease. We have the physical allergy whenever I drink, and that's proven day after day after day in my active career, that when I take that first drink, I keep drinking. And I keep drinking till I can't drink no more. And how crazy is that? Waking up day after day after day after day, making the same promise to yourself every day, today I'm not gonna drink. And half an hour later, I'm doing it again. I hit rock bottom April 6th, 2004, where I was once again sitting in my living room. It was about 11 a.m. And the thought occurred to me, maybe alcohol is the problem. never occurred to me before. It was the high pressure, it was my depressions, my anxiety, my lousy childhood, you name it. That was the reason. That was the reason to all my problems. My lack of discipline, my lack of willpower. Maybe alcohol was a problem. And I don't know where that thought came from, but I thought, I gotta get in touch with AA. I never knew anybody in AA. I don't know where the thought came from. So I went on the internet, looked at AA up, and called them. I was drunk out of my mind. But a well-meaning lady took the call, and she was sure that I'd been in AA before. Oh, I've never been in AA before. Help me. Send somebody out to me. She did. Sent this guy named Thor out. a big biker type guy with the crew cut, the big tattoos, and the big muscles, and he scared the living daylights out of me. But I opened the door, let him in, and then we sat in our living room. And I don't remember much from that conversation, other than at some time I asked him, is it okay if I get a beer? But the one thing he told me that I still remember was, are you willing to do anything to get over this? Are you willing to do anything for a victory over alcoholism? Because that's the criteria. You have to be willing to do anything. And he took me to my first meeting that day. Great, I saw these steps on the wall. And he said, oh, one, two, three, four takes a bit of work. I reckon I've done five or six of them already. I got this desire to share my experience with the group. drunk out of my skull. They shut me down, I don't know why. And I liked it so much that I decided to take another meeting that day. But I was just by around the corner to a bar in the meantime while I waited for the other meeting. So, hey, I was drunk anyway, and I was quitting tomorrow, right? So better get the most out of it. So, all went well for 10 days. And that's where the second part of this disease comes in. Just one example of my history of, and that's the mental obsession. At 10 days sober, Friday, by the way, I got this idea. 10 days sober, Pally, you're doing a heck of a job. Good for you. You know, you got this under control. So why don't you celebrate these 10 days of sobriety with a couple of beers? And I did. And 2 beers became 4 beers, 4 beers became 6 beers. And I came home at 5 o'clock in the morning with my pants torn and some lipstick on my shirt, and it was a horrible night. And that was a way for me for my first couple of months in AA, in and out, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. And I remember the 31st of May, lying in bed after another drunk. Just feeling gutted and tired and sick and all that. I turned over and looked at my wife and said, you know what? I'm done. I can't take any more of this. I said, I'm through. And I was sober. And I went to my meetings. I got myself a sponsor. He had some nice suggestions, which I completely ignored. And 17 days later, 17 days, by the way, is how long I can stay sober on my willpower. I have no experience of being able to be sober longer than that on my own willpower. The 17th of June was the day my last drunk started. And if there was one day of the year I shouldn't drink, that was a day. It was my ex-wife's birthday. She was getting, her best friend was coming from London with her 4-year-old daughter to visit us and stay with us. And I found myself sitting on the sofa yet again with the TV turned all the way up so I wouldn't hear my own, all that noise in my head. And I was drinking. And to this day, I can't tell you how that drunk started. I can't tell you that. And the Big Book tells us exactly the same thing around a strange mental blank spot where nothing I put between myself and alcohol is sufficient to keep me from drinking. And if there is something that has scared me shitless in this life, sorry for cursing, it's that day. Because my wife came home, she found her husband death drunk on the sofa yet again. And she asked, "Why are you drinking?" And I gave her the only answer I could give, and I think it was the most truthful answer I ever could have given. "I don't know. Because I don't need a big reason to go drinking. I drink when I'm happy, I drink when I'm sad, I drink when I'm depressed. It doesn't matter. I just drink. That's what I do." That drunk lasted 3 days, 2 or 3 days. And at the end of that drunk was complete defeat. I was willing to do anything. So I did what people suggested around me. I went to a 28-day program because my parents told me to. No argument there. If you feel that's the right thing to do, I'll do it. And I'll tell you, because I got a spiritual experience during that 28-day program. I went to Iceland for that treatment, and two things started there. I started praying. I started going physically down on my knees every morning, every night, and I started praying. And those were not prayers like my pre-AA prayers. "Please, God, get me through this exam and I'll be a good boy. Please don't let my wife find out who I've been messing around with." No, I prayed for my family. I prayed that they would not worry about me. I prayed for my wife that she would be able to take care of not only her job, but my jobs, which she was taking care of at the same time. So focus shifted. Focus shifted from being praying for myself to start praying for other people. And one day, up on a mountaintop in Iceland, something happened. I looked around, all directions. I was completely alone. Oh, that's a lie. There were some sheep over there. but they don't count. And I got this feeling that no matter what, I'll never be alone again. Because that's the worst thing about alcoholism. You're so alone. You can be in a party full of people and you're alone. That spiritual experience did wonders for me. I felt good. I finished the program and went back to Copenhagen. And things were so good that I saw no reason to start working the steps. The Big Book mentions the varieties of religious experience by William James. He was this scholar that went around and talked to people about spiritual experiences and did it in a very scientific manner. And he found out two things about a spiritual experience. They never happen When you're on top of your game? Never. And they're transitory. The effect of a spiritual awakening ebbs off. So 4 months sober, getting a divorce because my codependent wife had no one to be codependent with, so she wanted out. I was just insane. I was really having trouble with my emotional nature. The only time I've taken my hand through a door was sober. Four months sober with absolutely no recovery in my body. And I called my sponsor. And I said, oh, what should I do? I said, I can't live like this. And he said, start writing. You know what to do. And I did. Took me 2 months to finish my first four step. And I usually thank my younger brother, sent in spirit. He came into the program after me, but we have the same sponsor. You know what he did? He was faster than me. He finished his four step before I did. And that was the last nudge over the finish line when it came to the four step. I fifth stepped the day after I finished. And if you've never tried it, try it. Because in the third step prayer says, free me from the bondage of self. That's all nice and fine. But I found out that I have to take some action to get free of that bondage. And for me, that was writing out my four steps, seeing where I had a part in all this disaster that was my life. And free, that was what it was after I did my first fifth step. I was completely free. And I think the fifth step promises are some of the most beautiful promises in the book. I can look the world in the eye. I could do that. It's like somebody took a ton of bricks off my shoulders. I was completely free. And since that day, there has been no other solution for me than this program of action that our big book describes. How long have I been? How many minutes? Doc's going to do 6 to 12. So what I want to finish up with then is that you don't have it anymore in the States, but we have this AA triangle, the three sides, the unity, service, and recovery. The steps are the recovery part, but it's just as important for me to make sure the other parts are right. Since being a part of the fellowship, having a home group, since being a part of instead of a part of, isn't separated from everything else like I always used to. And service, I want to finish up on service because that's one of the richest areas in my life today. The things I get to do in AA are just so wonderful. I started just making coffee, putting the chairs up, and then I was the bookseller in my home group. Then I became a secretary at some point. But the most exciting part I've been allowed to do in sobriety is that we have a lot of dark tunnel AA in Denmark. And to change that, some guy started throwing these international conventions in Copenhagen. And I've been so lucky to be a part of that in recovery. We had Chris and Doug come over last November, and Doug's coming again in May. And it's so wonderful because we really come together and you can feel this is the fellowship of the Spirit. We're all here in recovery together. And little by little, since we started that project, that has grown. We now have 3 or 4 conventions in Denmark. And now we are going to start our own speaker traditions. I also get to be a tiny part of something called XA Speakers, which just makes recovery speaks accessible to the whole world for free. And it's just so exciting to be a part of that. I've gotten a life that is so full now. And I was a hopeless drunk. Every night I went to bed, I only had one thought in my mind. I hope I don't wake up. Every morning I woke up, today I'm not going to drink. That was all. Today, I'm able to be useful to other people. I live a good, healthy life, and I get to go places and see people, and I'm not locked in my small apartment. I'm living life, and that's all because that when I first came into the doors of AA, somebody stuck their hand out to me and said, welcome, and they helped me recover from this disease. So, yeah, thanks a lot. You're just great.